Welcome back to Offworld, the show where we talk about all things space exploration and pop culture. I'm Ariel Waldman.
And I'm Norm Chan. And this week, we're going to be talking about a new television show. It's rooted in space history, but it isn't quite history.
Yeah, we're talking about For All Mankind. It's new on Apple TV Plus, and we watched the first three episodes. So, you know, we'll have spoilers in the show for the first three episodes, but we haven't seen the entire show. So if you kind of want to know, like, why you want to get into this show and what we found so interesting about it at the beginning, like, definitely take a watch.
I'm glad you're also doing the first three episodes, because as you'll soon hear, you and your guests went through quite a journey in liking the show or having new feelings about the show as you got to the third episode. But please enjoy.
Okay, so I'm really excited to have you both on the show because we are talking about For All Mankind, which is a new show that came out just this year. And, you know, going into it, I wasn't really sure what to think about this show, but now I'm really excited both of you are here because it's kind of appropriate to have three women space geeks on this show. So, Shannon, please go ahead and introduce yourself and say a little bit about what you do.
My name is Shannon Sterone. I am a freelance science journalist, and I write about all things space, and I love it. It's a lot of fun.
I'm a huge fan of yours. This
Thank
is like
you.
The first time I'm meeting
I'm a
you
huge
in
fan
public.
Of yours
yeah,
too.
So this is great in real life.
Yeah, Emily.
Yep. My name is Emily Calandrelli. I am a science communicator, space TV show host, children's book author.
Awesome. Well, so yeah, For All Mankind. So we all agreed we're going to watch the first three episodes so that we get like a taste of the show, but we don't reveal it, all of it, to everyone for people who haven't caught up. So kind of, I guess, just getting right into it, what were some of the general things you appreciated about the show?
Yeah, I mean, for me, when I first started watching it, I was like, ugh, another Apollo show. Like, I don't generally like to watch space programs that relive the Apollo era, even though I love space. Just because it's just a time during our history where women really couldn't do much of anything. And for me, I don't think it's like mentally healthy to watch programs like that. But then in the third episode, it really just like took the rug out from under me. And I was like, oh, this is so different. And I got really excited. And so now I'm totally hooked because the focus has totally changed on the women, like, and what could have been if America focused on bringing women into space. So now I'm hooked.
Yeah. And to get a little bit into it, you know, the premise of the show was all about, you know, what if the Russians landed on the moon first? And so in the show, they have the Russians land on the moon a month before we were due to land on the moon. And at first, it's like a few different little changes to what happens to, you know, the timeline. Some things are different. They shift characters around a little bit, but mostly the same. And then, yeah, and then as it ramps up at the end of episode two, this is a spoiler, but we've already warned everyone of that. At the end of episode two, the Russians land the very first woman on the moon, and that really changes the game for everything. And then the U.S. is involved in trying to get women actually to the moon. Shannon, what were some, like, just general things that you liked about the show overall?
Overall, well, I went in completely ignorant of what the show was about. I was not expecting the Red Moon. I wasn't expecting Russia to land first. And while the first two episodes were kind of difficult to get into, I was a little bit bored and like, oh, this is maybe stagnating a little bit. Mm-hmm. The premise really got me because I wondered how would things change. And I think the mix of historical references like Mercury 13 and Wernher von Braun with this new timeline was like surprisingly fascinating. But I completely agree with you. The third episode hooked me.
Yeah.
I was frustrated because I was like, oh God, I have to watch the show.
I mean, they took a long time to set up like the context, but now it makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've referenced the Mercury 13. I wanted to ask both of you what you thought about the folding in of Mercury 13 into this show's storyline, and I guess also explaining to our audience a bit of, like, who the Mercury 13 were.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first I had heard of the Mercury 13, and this is the type of show that will, like, constantly have you looking stuff up on Wikipedia, because you're like, is this a reference to something that actually happened, or is this something that the show is making up? And Mercury 13 is a real thing, and it turns out it was this like privately funded program for to test potential candidates for women in space that had really nothing to do with NASA, but it was these 13 women that passed all of the same tests that the Apollo astronauts passed. And so they were these female pilots that were really just as capable of going into space as all the Apollo astronauts.
Yeah. Shannon, did you know much about Mercury 13 before?
I didn't. I'd heard about it before, roughly, but I didn't know too much about it. And I ended up going online as well and was like, is this a real thing? And it just adds to the context of, you know, what would have changed if we had brought them back into the fold,
right,
like officially with NASA.
Because they had, I guess there was some like committee hearing they had in Congress where two of the Mercury 13 testified that we should have women in the space program. And they gave all of these arguments as to why that should be the case. Namely, they'd passed all the same tests that the men had passed. And NASA at the time had all these requirements to become an astronaut that women were prohibited to even try. They couldn't become these test pilots. Like, they couldn't fly jets. They couldn't do these things that were required to become astronauts. And so that committee hearing didn't really go anywhere. But I don't know. Seeing this made me so mad.
I was going to say, like, it's conflicting feelings because you're like, there's these awesome women that, like, we weren't told about, you know, very much. And that's really exciting. But also, wait, what?
Why didn't we know?
Exactly. Yeah,
this is so incredible. And so that's what makes me hooked on the show, because now I'm like, okay, this is cool.
Yeah.
What would have happened
if
they said yes at that hearing and then brought women into the program?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Like, I knew about the Mercury 13 prior to the show. And so when it came up, I was like, oh, you know, good hat tip. But then they really made it part of the storyline. And I think I appreciated how they did that, because in the storyline, they talk about how the Mercury 13 did get canceled. So it fully holds up to that part of reality, how there were all these women ready to be astronauts and the program got canceled and NASA never recognized it. And now NASA, which we can get into a little, the reasons why a little bit later, but NASA has decided, oh, crap, we need women on the moon. I guess we should look up those Mercury 13 again. And so, so in the story, they bring in a couple of people from Mercury 13, and then they get women from other places as well. So, yeah, it was good. I wanted to actually ask also, like, sort of grounding this in history, because this is taking place now in, like, 1970 to 1971-ish. So we've landed on the moon. We haven't yet sent a woman to the moon, but they're going through training, and they show some clips from our actual history in the show of women protesting for the Equal Rights Amendment, which still hasn't passed yet to this day. And then this is also set, you know, in post-civil rights era. So you have the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission at this point, but you don't yet have the Equal Employment Opportunity Act of 1974, which means it's still legal to discriminate on hiring people based on race. And so this group of women who are all training to be astronauts, they're all white women except for one woman who's a black woman. And I wanted to ask, like, given that the 1970s were like this time where women are protesting for more rights and there is like more effort going towards civil rights, like, do you think this is something that would have been embraced by the public, having this group of women training to be astronauts? Like, what do you think, Shannon?
I've been asking myself that since I watched the third episode last night, and I don't know. We still struggle with that now.
I mean,
and maybe it would have been different if we'd sort of gotten in at the beginning, but but I don't know.
I don't know either. But I think the thing that made it more realistic in the show was that it was part of this like competitive landscape where the Russians had landed a woman on the moon first. And so it wasn't necessarily like women are equal and this is why we need to do this at NASA. We need to bring women in at NASA for equality. It was like, no, we need to bring women in at NASA to beat the Russians. So it's hard to imagine that happening any other way.
And I mean, I even struggled with that being a premise because Valentina Tereshkova was the first woman in space in 1963, and the U.S. was just like, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't change anything. But they sort of like give a throwaway thing in the storyline, and they're like, well, Nixon's numbers are down with women, and he's worried he's going to, like, good not point. Get as many women voters. So I think the way they sort of say, well, now they want to compete with the Russians on women is by saying, oh, his numbers are down. And they're just so like, true. Sure.
As long as she's a pretty blonde.
Right. Yes. Yeah. They want her to be a bombshell blonde. And so in that way, it feels, to say realistic. I mean, okay. So there's some other instances of women showing up in the show, though. They do have a woman character in Mission Control who's the first woman in Mission Control, sort of based off of Poppy Northcutt, who we all adore and love.
Did you notice in that first episode, she passes a woman in the hallway and she's like, hi, Poppy.
Yes. Yeah. I was they're doing the nod.
Yeah.
So, did you have any thoughts on, how Mission Control was portrayed? I certainly had some opinions about it, but I don't know. Did anything come up?
They seem to keep it pretty historically accurate. It's full of white male engineers and one
looked right.
female.
Yeah.
Poppy.
Yeah. I was a little sad because they kept Gene Kranz as Gene Kranz, and I adore Gene Kranz, and they sort of made him kind of say some really sexist stuff.
I did not like
some
that.
Over-the-top sexist stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't you destroy Gene Kranz.
He's
a lovely man.
That bothered me. I didn't like that part.
I bet he doesn't. He's not too happy about the show. I don't know. Who knows? But okay. So I guess the other plausibility question I had was how plausible do you think it might be that Nixon would have invested more in the space program given that the race didn't end? So 1969, they beat us to the moon, and we do what we do, which is we move the goalposts and we say, oh, it's not about landing on the moon first. Yeah. It's actually about creating the first lunar outpost, and we're going to do that, and that will be the winner. So that's very accurate in terms of what America does all the time. But Nixon famously, really didn't like space exploration and wanted to just kill it all and let the space shuttle go by. But the space shuttle was sort of a compromise from what it was supposed to. So sort of more grander visions. Shannon, I know you do a lot of historical looks and everything. Do you think it might be plausible if we had not won the race as quickly that Nixon would have just been I guess we're investing more in space because it's, about winning? Or
it didn't strike me as terribly realistic. But at the same time, if we'd really lost like that, if Russia had gone to the moon first, it's very possible. I mean, if you look at today's landscape, it's sort of similar. I don't think the administration particularly is passionate about going to space, but it's a matter of competition. Mm-hmm. So you put the front that you need to go.
Yeah.
So it's possible. I know he didn't really care for NASA and space exploration. So
yeah, it is an interesting question, though, to imagine, would it have been better overall if the Russians did beat us to the moon?
Would there be more public enthusiasm for it or less? Would it fade away, or would the public only pick up more speed and more momentum?
Right, because we haven't had that level of competition in a very long time.
Yeah.
And it's probably no coincidence that we haven't been back to the moon in an equally long time. So I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things actually I wanted to ask about, extended enthusiasm for space geeks like us is there was a really cool small thing. I think it was in the third episode. I can't remember, but it was either in the second or third episode. They discover water on the moon in 1970. Now, for those that don't know, water on the moon is typically slated with being discovered in 2009. Different people debate who discovered it first, but a lot of people say 2009 with L. Cross. And the whole point of water on the moon is that you can make rocket fuel and you can, support habitats on there. And so they, in their timelines, because the race didn't stop, they kept surveying the moon in 1970 and discovered a significant amount of water. And I wanted to know your thoughts on sort of if you felt that that's a big enough of a scientific discovery that alone could have maybe changed our activities in space. If we would have done more, had we discovered we could be making rocket fuel on the moon when we have rockets already going to the moon.
Yeah, I mean, that felt a little bit unrealistic to me because, like, even now we're like, well, that's great, but there's so many other steps yes. that need to happen in order for that discovery to be made useful. But I think that could be a little bit of an impetus back then when we already have a lot of funding and public support for going to the moon, but probably not enough to be like, oh, yeah, well, now we can do a moon base.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that it would have been something to get us back there maybe, but in terms of the technology, we might have gone and said, oh, there really is lots of water here. Now what do we do with it? And yeah. we're stuck in the same, it's 2019 and we're in the same position where it's like, yeah. that's great. There's water.
I'm curious.
How do we get the water out?
Yeah, since we haven't seen the remaining episodes, like I'm right. curious if they'll show people using the water somehow and sort of come up with a creative way for how they figured out how to, you know, make it useful. Or maybe it's just like big iceberg glaciers and craters, and thus it's very easy just to go and grab one.
That would be convenient for television's sake. Yeah. I love that he says at the end, or at the end of that episode, when they're talking about explaining how to extract the water, and this is why this is valuable to find water ice on the moon, and he says, so we're just going to go explore the entire solar system. Like, it's now open to us.
Just like that.
There's a lot of references to, like, going beyond Mars and exploring the whole solar system that I'm
That hooked me. I'm like, are they going to explore the whole solar system?
Maybe this turns out
that
to be
would
the
be bomb.
Yeah,
maybe
that'll make
a really
expanse.
Cool show.
This is the alternate timeline that leads to the expanse. Oh my gosh. Okay, so another thing was you see, because the race is being extended, you see more people talking about the militarization of space and maybe turning the lunar base into a more of a military base. Like, how did that strike you? Is that something that, like, yeah, really, like, NASA would have, like, if the race extended, NASA would have kept getting more folded into military and less civilian?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds, if they were convinced that the Russians had a foothold on the moon, sort of seems plausible.
Yeah, I feel like that's sort of a natural progression of, you know, the military has more funding, and it is, if there's a security threat,
yeah,
then they would, that seems like a perfectly
I feel like we're all
thing.
Making guesses as to, like, what the rest of the season is.
I mean, were there any other, like, history
Space Force
nods or things that came up that sort of struck you as interesting, even if you're not sure about them, or?
I mean, learning the history of Wernher von Braun and, like, the V2 program was, like, really unsettling. Because I feel like I knew bits and pieces of that, but we just, like, hail him as a hero of aerospace, and we just kind of put all the other stuff under the rug and don't really think about it. And I did really like how the show was like, but what about this?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah, you're gone.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I felt that was, I appreciated that because I had been watching it going like, God, like another show that's just like idolizing Wernher von Braun and painting him as this nice old man and, you know, and they make him a very central figure in the first couple of
super
episodes.
Super likable.
Because in reality, he was head of Marshall Space Flight Center in Alabama, but they have him in the show being kind of, you know, head of Houston, more or less. And then they do an about face and they're like, by the way, he was a Nazi and like, absolutely involved in being a Nazi, and I was like, oh, thank you. Like, thank you for, like, saying that, because, a lot of people just gloss it over.
Yeah, I was Googling that today, and it was like, more people died building the V2 than were killed by the V2, because they used slave labor to build it. I was like, oh, that's a terrible fact that I now know. Like, ugh. But I'm glad that the show brought that to light, because I did not know that before.
Yeah, and I think they, you know, when it conclude when the episode two concluded, I think they did it actually a good job of doing it in the end, because they also started the episode with showing a clip of Wernher von Braun with from a Disney film, and he did a collaboration with Disney, and like they were talking about the future of space with Disney as a, you know, very cute science educational science communication film, and that's like from reality, you know.
So
I think we're getting to the heart of the fact that the show, you know, is really good for Googling a lot. Making sure you're up on your space history. So I guess my final question for both of you is, We're in 2019 in reality, where we did land on the moon first, but that was a moved goalpost. And, you know, just this year, we finally had the first all-women spacewalk happen in 2019. And obviously in the show, it moves up the first space flight of women happening in the 70s rather than in the 80s for American women. You know, what are your thoughts on like watching this show, but also knowing where we are in reality and sort of like, you know, what thoughts do you have on like what's missing in space today? I mean, I know it's a big question.
Yeah. I mean, in general, I just feel like this show makes me so sad in a way that there was this huge missed opportunity way back when we had this like triple threat of all the resources we needed, the congressional support, the public support, all the money that we needed to go into space. And they should have like struck while the iron is hot, because those three things never come together. And they put 12 people on the moon and they're all white guys. It's like we could have had so many firsts if you were just a little bit more forward thinking and open minded. And I think that we should learn from that missed opportunity and hopefully apply it to times today where we have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I feel the same. It does make me a little bit sad, because it does feel like, I think it's something that the show does particularly well, is sort of put you in that mindset of how would things actually have been different if we did bring a few of the Mercury 13 back, if we did recruit women in 1971, what would it be like now? And at once, it's very unrealistic to think in that Nixon would say, well, let's get a crew of women together to go to the moon. But we haven't, you know, when we just had our recent, the all-female spacewalk, it was such a huge victory. And I think the entire internet just was in an uproar watching this. Mm-hmm. So I do hope that feeling that we get of like, this actually feels really good to see representation in space, mm-hmm. that we carry that on. But I think that's something that's really good about the show, is sort of forcing you to think, how could things have been different? And how can they be different now? Knowing that there's tons of women out there who are qualified and people of color who are qualified, and why does the astronaut corps look like that?
Yeah. So often I think we forget that half the population is women.
Yeah. What?
I know. Because the first scheduled all-female spacewalk that didn't happen, I don't know that NASA expected such a backlash.
Oh, that made me so
like,
mad.
It was so heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was.
And that made waves everywhere, because I don't think they knew that half the population is women. And this, like, these types of events, these firsts, mean so much to us. Mm-hmm. And so when they don't happen, it's really heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, on that note, a heartbreaking note, but but you know, the positive thing is that I feel like the show helps us sort of get into that critical thinking, and that in that way, at least, we can start thinking about like what we need to do to change things today, knowing that we are still very far behind on everything. So, yeah. Anyway, thank you both so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
So I really enjoyed that conversation. Having Emily and Shannon are great, because the three of us were all space geeks. We all know a lot about different aspects of space and space history, but different aspects. So we didn't all know all the same history. And this show taught all three of us some new things, and also just getting to look more into the reality that we live in, and the parts of reality that they pulled in to the show was just, I don't know, it was really fascinating. And I think all three of us were really, I don't know, we really liked the show by the end of it.
And I think it did its job as an alternate reality story, in that you, even as someone who follows space history, needs to look and wonder, did they do the research? What creative decisions are they making in the portrayals? And of course, the fun part is going back after you watch an episode and Googling the people, the events, see, okay, that's where they're saying history diverged a little bit, or maybe a lot of it.
Yeah, and they give a lot of nods. Like we brought up, they give a nod to Poppy Northcutt, who we've had here on Offworld, and that was really cool too.
And going back to Poppy, you should definitely listen to that episode or watch that episode when we had Poppy on. She brought up the fact that back in 69 and 70, after the moon landing, you know, enthusiasm in space exploration, the race was over, it really waned. And so that's where this show is talking about what would happen if there was momentum. Right.
Yeah.
Regardless of the politics of it all and why things are happening, right? That momentum is something that we all can agree is something we need today.
Yeah, and a key part of that was the folding in of these bits of reality, in addition to giving a nod to Poppy, but it was folding in Mercury 13, which I was just really excited about, because I had heard of Mercury 13 before, and I thought it was really a smart way of making Mercury 13 now relevant in this alternate history timeline.
And while this show is on Apple TV+, I'm going to give a shout out and recommendation to a documentary on another service, Netflix. They produce a documentary about the Mercury 13. It's a wonderful watch. It was just released last year with interviews, a lot of that historical context. So highly encourage those of you who've seen For All Mankind to also check that out. Also, please check out Offworld, all our previous episodes, either on our YouTube channel or on in podcast format. You can find us on at test.com/offworld. And Errol and I will see you next time.